to Travel It's Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or my website, danschlossberg.net. Tonight, in the 344th episode of Travel It Radio, our special guest is my longtime friend and colleague, Michelle Newman, who will tell us what makes Halloween extra special in several different places. Welcome, Michelle, to Travel It Radio.
I'm delighted to be here, and I flew in on my broom for tonight's show.
Oh, that's great. I knew you left a trail of hay, so that's good. I followed that. But before we get to you, we have a quick message from tonight's sponsor. Thinking about a great vacation spot within a great vacation destination? Look no further than the Sophia Hotel in downtown San Diego. A member of Historic Hotels of America, this 221-room property, built in Gothic Revival style in 1926, is perfect for the discriminating traveler. Rooms have refrigerators, microwaves, 42-inch flat-screen TVs, and more. The Sophia even offers free yoga classes and bicycle rentals, plus proximity to the convention center, gas lamp district, airports, train and trolley depot. That's the Sophia Hotel, a great place in a great location in a great city, and it's spelled S-O-F-I-A when you Google it. Now let's bring in Michelle Newman. I can't think of anyone better to talk about Halloween all over the world. So first of all, happy Halloween, Michelle, and welcome again to Travel It's Radio.
Well, thank you, and a happy Halloween to you, too, and I hope you don't think I'm a witch.
No, which is which. We'll figure this out during the next 30 minutes. And you say, grab your broomstick and fly straight to Salem. Do not pass go or collect $200. Okay, Michelle, what makes Salem, Mass. The ultimate Halloween destination?
Well, you know, Dan, I'm going to tell you, the best analogy I can make that you can relate to is it's sort of like the Woodstock for witches. This is a mega event. Over 500,000 people converge here, many of them witches, because there are over 700 events during the month-long celebration in October that's known as Salem Haunted Happenings.
That sounds great. Well, we all know about the Salem witch trials, but is it true there are still more than 1,600 practicing witches in Salem now that nobody is threatening to burn them at the stake or hang them?
That is totally true. And as a matter of fact, Salem is like a magnet. It attracts witches from all over the world. As a matter of fact, tonight they're convening right this moment on the Common, celebrating the Salem Witches Circle.
We hear there are a dozen or so witch shops, but visitors may need a guide to determine which witch is which. Since you were there, give us an idea of what they sell. Is it wands and capes or a lot more?
Oh, my gosh, it's a lot more. I actually went to Hex, Old World Witchery Store, which was unbelievable. And Tim Regan, one of the witches and psychics in the shop, showed me around the store. They have potions and powders and capes and conical witches' hats, and they have all kinds of accoutrements that a witch could possibly want, including spell kits and crystals and much more.
Isn't there also a witch museum that tells the whole story of the 1692 witch trials?
Yes, it's called the Salem Witch Museum, and it is fantastic. It starts out with an overview of the witch trials from 1692 with dioramas, sort of like dioramas that are illuminated, and they each one tells a story of the history and background of the witch trials and why they came to pass. After visitors watch the presentation, there's also a museum that discusses and showcases the history of witchcraft from the ancient times up until modern times.
So if you really want to learn what a witch hunt is all about, we recommend going to Salem, Massachusetts. And we're talking with Halloween expert Michelle Newman. Michelle, Is the month of October peak season in Salem, and how far ahead should visitors book?
Absolutely, beyond a question of the doubt. It is totally peak season. 30% of all of the tourism business occurs during that 1 month alone. You need to make your reservations a year out, and many of the hotels require a 2 to 3 night minimum stay. So make your reservations now. It's not too early.
Also, where did you stay, and what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, I did not stay in Salem. It was booked. By the time I decided I was going to Salem, it was too late to get a hotel. However, I stayed in Boston, and I took the train in, and it's only a 30-minute commute. I would definitely recommend staying at the Hawthorne Hotel, which, as you know, Dan, you just did a radio show on it this morning, is one of the haunted hotels. One of the most haunted hotels. So next time I go back, I'm staying at the Hawthorne Hotel.
Well, there are many inns and B&Bs in Salem. Are any of the others haunted?
Yes. There are some other haunted buildings, definitely. And there is another hotel, I believe it's the Salem Inn, that is allegedly haunted.
Do you know of any haunted houses in Salem? And does Salem have haunted house or ghost tours, and are they offered all year round?
Okay, the ghost tours are offered year round. And yes, quite a few of the properties claim to be haunted, including Lyceum Hall and a few of the other buildings. Year round, there are seances, and visitors can participate in psychic readings, ghost tours, and historic walking tours.
I'm glad you mentioned the word psychic. That was my next question. How cool would it be to get a reading in a town with a legacy of witchcraft?
Well, you know, Dan, I did get a reading, and this was the first time I ever had a reading. It was with Tim Reagan at Hex, and it was an incredibly interesting, unusual, and unique experience, and it blew me away at how accurate Tim was. He was right on the money.
Wow. Well, we're talking with Halloween expert Michelle Newman, and it's actually Halloween. And I understand visitors can add the names of the deceased to the altar of the dead at the Old World Witchery Shop. How does that work?
Well, I have a picture of the altar, and it's really creepy and freaky and spooky. There is I could be wrong, but I believe it's a human skull encased in a glass globe. And it's on this altar with all kinds of lipsticks, cigarettes, photographs, all kinds of little trinkets that belong to people who have passed to the other side. And people come to the altar of the dead, and they will write the name of a deceased person on a piece of paper, either on or right after Halloween night. These names are burned, and they supposedly send a message to the other side of the people who are deceased, the spirits who are deceased. It's sort of like, it's likened to lighting a candle in church.
Well, Salem is not only the center of witchery in the United States, but also the place where the Parker Brothers actually invented Monopoly, and also the Ouija board came from there. You want to talk about that a bit?
Well, isn't that the craziest thing? I mean, when we said, do not pass go, do not collect $200, after that I found out that the Parker Brothers game company was based in Salem from the 1930s up until about 1991, where they produced Monopoly and the Ouija board. So you know there are a lot of Ouija boards coming out tonight and lots of seances.
And we understand, too, that Salem Haunted Happenings includes 700 individual events, including parades, costume balls, psychic fairs, ghost stories, theatrical presentations, and a whole bunch more. So if you're thinking about next year, where to go, what to do for Halloween, now's the time to book, isn't it?
Absolutely. No question about it.
And how about other places? I did a radio show this morning where I talked about the Lord Baltimore Hotel, which has ghost tours every day, the 1886 Crescent in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which calls itself the most haunted hotel in the world, and also the Hotel Bethlehem in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which has haunted rooms. And we can't forget Concord's Colonial Inn, which was built in 1716. There's a room there where a Revolutionary War doctor treated guys who were injured at the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And that room is supposed to be haunted. So there are plenty of other places. Have you ever gone to any of the other places that are haunted?
Well, I have. I've gone to some, you know, pretty big Halloween happenings. One is South Beach, which is Miami Beach. And on Lincoln Road, there's a gigantic Halloween happening, a big drag parade. And in New York City, I believe it's the East Village, if I'm not mistaken, there's also a big Halloween event going on. But these are not haunted events, and they're certainly not in the caliber of spending Halloween in Salem for their haunted happenings.
Yes, okay, that's for sure. And before we move on to an international destination, I want to tell our listeners you're listening to Travel Witch Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Witch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes, and we're talking with travel writer Michelle Newman, who is an expert on all things Halloween. Switching gears, Michelle, our listeners would love to know about Count Dracula's castle, another place you visited. What was that like?
Oh, my gosh. I was there a year ago today. I was in Transylvania. I was in Romania with my friend, Rodica Varna, who is a Romanian tour operator, and she invited me to go to Transylvania and spend my birthday at Dracula's castle.
Is your birthday today?
My birthday is October 24th, but she invited me to be there to celebrate my birthday and go and spend Halloween in Dracula's castle.
Okay, so happy belated birthday and happy belated Mischief Night, which was last night. Got to acknowledge that too. Always was afraid of Mischief Night as a kid. Didn't like the soap, didn't like the little brush fires that were set around where I lived. All kinds of stuff was going on that night. I was glad when that was over. So anyway, isn't Vlad the Impaler considered a hero rather than a monster by many Romanians?
You know, that's just Hollywood drama that he's a monster. He's not. He is indeed considered a hero by Romanians because, number one, he was a fierce warrior, and he kept the Turks away from Romania, and he kept the Romanians safe for many, many, many years. The Turks were always about to invade Romania, and they were brutal warriors. And Count Vlad was a prince, he was of nobility, and he was held in high esteem, and he was deeply respected by the Romanians for keeping them safe.
We have to let our listeners know, where is Transylvania and how did Dracula become a horror film cult hero?
Well, you'll have to speak to some of the Hollywood producers and the person that wrote the book all about Dracula, because he did become a legend as a result of, you know, what Hollywood can, how Hollywood embellishes things. But I was very interested in traveling along the steps of Dracula throughout Transylvania. I even went to his boyhood home in Sighișoara.
How do people get there? How do Americans get there?
Well, I flew on TAP Air Portugal, and then I flew from the East Coast to Frankfurt. Well, to Lisbon. And the good thing about flying on TAP Air Portugal is you are allowed, you're entitled to up to 5 days where you can have stopover privileges. Then I flew to Frankfurt, and then I transferred and I flew on Lufthansa into Bucharest.
Ah, so you really got around. That sounds like a great trip. How long was that trip?
I was in Romania for about 10 or 11 days, and I was able to see a lot of the country during that time. And it's a very interesting place to visit. You know, I'm an architecture lover. I'm a foodie. So between the food, the architecture, and the Jewish heritage, Dan, there's a lot to see and do in Romania.
Well, what is it like actually to visit the castle, and are things different there on Halloween?
Well, the castle's really kind of creepy. And first of all, there's a myth. Even though it's called Dracula's Castle, he never lived there. just to set the record straight. The castle was originally built in the 14th century, and every generation it was added onto. So it's really sort of like an architectural mishmash. Now, for Halloween, they go all out. They decorate the castle with cobwebs and spider webs, and bats are dangling from the chandeliers. And there is a huge party, and people come from the world over to go to this party at the castle. It's a really big event, and they are dressed in elaborate costumes, and there's a light show that's projected onto the walls of the castle, and it's really, the light show is like the inferno, the inferno in hell. You see these flames, and then over the sound system, there's screeching sounds and howling. It's really pretty eerie. And then there's a great big party. There's a dinner party at the restaurant, which sits at the base at the castle. People show up in very, very elaborate costumes. Lady Gaga would fit right in.
Do Romanians mark the holiday too, or is it just an American creation?
Oh, no, it's a very big Romanian holiday. As I said, people from all over the world came to Transylvania, to Dracula's castle in Brasov, and there were many Romanians there in costumes celebrating. It is a big deal. Plus the fact, in Romania, what I noticed, they're doing a really good job of marketing this whole Dracula theme. They have Dracula wine, they have Dracula ties. They have everything imaginable that has a Dracula theme that you can make money on. So it's definitely embedded in their culture.
We are talking with travel writer Michelle Newman, who is an expert in all things Halloween. Michelle, since this is a travel show, what's the best way to get to Romania? You mentioned one airline, and also the best place to stay are the group tours that include the Count Dracula story.
Well, I stayed in Bucharest. I stayed at the Rembrandt Hotel, and it's a boutique hotel. It's smack in the middle of Old Town. And Old Town, as you know, Dan, in many towns and cities of Europe, there's usually an Old Town, and that's the medieval part of town with meandering, narrow cobblestone streets. So I stayed at that hotel. I do believe, some of the restaurants do a lot for the Dracula, the Halloween celebration. For instance, the restaurant there's a restaurant that's nestled right in the base, at the base of Dracula's castle. And on Halloween night, they have a dinner. And it's part of the big party and the big event. And the dinner was kicked off, for example, with a Dracula Kiss cocktail. Then it was followed with a blood sausage appetizer with red currant sauce. But you know what the one thing was missing from the menu, Dan? Take a guess.
Hot dogs.
No shish kebab. Get it?
Ah, there you go. That makes
you
sense
like
with
that.
Vlad the Impaler.
Exactly. But they did have one disgusting, dreadful dish on the menu. That is the weirdest thing I ever ate. It was so bad I spit it out. It's called koliva. Koliva is a traditional cake from the Eastern European countries for the Eastern Orthodox religion. It is traditionally served, it's called the funeral cake, literally. It is served at funerals, and it's disgustingly awful. It's a mound of mush. It's boiled cold barley that's topped with cinnamon that's stenciled onto the top of the cake in the design, in the pattern of the deceased person's initials. It's bizarre.
Wow.
It's
pretty bad.
I've
got to ask you this one, too. Since there are so many old, old buildings in Europe, I mean, really old.
Uh-huh.
Are you aware of any other spooky places in Europe, and have you visited any of them?
Oh, that's a good question. There are some spooky places in Portugal. I did stay at an old fort in the Azores. And I think it went back to the 15th or 16th century. And, of course, it had a dungeon. So that was a little eerie and gruesome. But for, to be honest with you, for the most part, I really avoid haunted places. There are some people, some travel writers that really enjoy writing about that. That's kind of their beat. That's their niche. It's not mine. I'm more into really beautiful, elegant, stunning architecture. But I have to say, this really was a lot of fun being at the Dracula Castle for Halloween night.
Well, that leads up to one of my next questions, which is, if you find that a hotel has a room that's allegedly haunted, do you request to stay in that room, or do you deliberately avoid that room?
I will definitely not request staying in it. However, if I don't have a choice and I'm stuck, well, then so be it. But no, I do not go out of my way to stay in haunted rooms. I have stayed at haunted hotels before, but it's not something that I don't seek it out.
Okay, we're talking with Halloween expert Michelle Newman. Michelle, do you enjoy or do you detest horror movies, and do you have any favorites?
I hate horror movies. You couldn't pay me to go to a horror movie. No, I mean, I lived through a horror. I got a divorce from my ex-husband. That's enough horror in my life. Thank you very much.
Well, when you were a kid, did you enjoy trick-or-treating and Halloween, and what was your favorite costume?
I did enjoy trick-or-treating, and my mother, may she rest in peace, Celia, who died on Halloween night, I might add, my mother was a very talented seamstress and very creative, and every year she used to create and design the most amazing, fantastic Halloween costumes for me, all made from scratch, and she made them, and I usually won the costume contest.
That's great. Well, you should. You're a very beautiful woman. That's terrific. And I've got to tell you my paranormal experience, because when my mother passed away in the year 2000, my daughter and I were cleaning out her condo in North Miami Beach. We mentioned her name and the lights flickered. At that point, we looked at each other and said, let's get the hell out of here. And we did.
Oh, absolutely. That's there. She was sending you a message loud and clear, Dan.
I think so. And by the way, my father passed away on my birthday, so that was another one.
Ooh, yikes.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, on to bigger and better things. I know you've won some awards for your work, especially a book. Please share with the audience on Travel Itch Radio.
Well, I wrote an award-winning book called Hand-Painted Textiles, Easy, Elegant Textiles, and it won an award for the best craft book of the year, and I'm very proud of it. Watson Guptill was the publisher, and it's basically a how-to book telling and showing people, even if they're non-artists, how to paint silk and how to create fabric designs. Because at that time, I was a regular guest on HGTV for many, many years, teaching people in America and Canada how to design fabric and create hand-painted textiles.
Well, they have some very attractive designers in that channel, so every once in a while I give it a look. So I'm also familiar with HGTV, and I recommend it. And our listeners always like to learn more about our guest, Michelle, so please tell us where you were born, raised, and schooled, how you became a writer, and especially how you became a travel writer.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I was born and raised in Miami Beach, Florida. My mother was on her way to a Mahjong game when she went into labor, and this is true, and she gave birth to me. It's true. Only a Jewish mother could do that. I went to the University of Miami, graduated with honors, and I currently live in San Antonio, although at most of the time I think I live in airports. I'm sure you can relate to that, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
And I really got into the travel writing industry by the back door by accident, because I was writing and I was featured in a lot of well-known design publications, including Women's Day and some of the House and Gardens magazines. And so before you knew it, they started, I was profiled, I was being featured, and I was always asked, where did I get my design inspiration from? And it always came from my travels. And so that eventually led to magazines asking me to document my travel stories and share some of my travel adventures.
That's terrific. Michelle, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to add?
You know, I would like to add these websites, if you don't mind.
Sure,
for Salem, if you want to get more information about Salem Haunted Happenings, go to hauntedhappenings.org and salem.org. And for Romania, visit romaniatourism.com.
Thank you. You're very, very helpful. Our special guest tonight has been travel journalist and Halloween specialist Michelle Newman, longtime friend, terrific writer. Thank you, Michelle, for being a guest on Travel Itch Radio.
It was my absolute pleasure, Dan, and I'm coming over to your house right now to trick or treat. Get ready.
Sounds great. Got a few pretzels left. All right, Michelle, thank you so much. And listeners, tomorrow is November 1st, so when you're thinking about gifts for the holidays, why not my book, The New Baseball Bible, a 424-page illustrated unorthodox history of baseball. It's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but 424 pages for less than a sawbuck, such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today as a gift for your favorite baseball fan or even for yourself. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, in advance of Veterans Day, and I am a veteran, as you all know, we'll be visiting with my close friend, Clem Goldberger, of the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Same time, same station, same writer, and same announcer. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, and also speaking for Michelle Newman, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.